Great. All right, welcome everybody. We're here for the Sussex Academy board meeting, January 28th, 2024. Sorry, that's a mouthful. I'm going to call to order the meeting. Let's go ahead and go around the table to announce ourselves. I'm Jen Donnegan. Let me start with you since you're at the first at the table.
Janet Owens, interim head of school.
Jen Donahue, board president.
Ed Hale, vice president. Pat Chazil, board member.
Shante Hastings, board member. Brittany Burslem, board treasurer.
Lily John, board member. Chris Moody, board member emeritus.
Andrea Rogers, board secretary. Bryce Sopa, director of human resources. And Virginia, board member.
Justina Thomas, board member.
Jill Green, board member.
And we do not have any virtual members yet. So we'll go ahead and anyone else in the room, let's go ahead and start on that side. Oh, Amy.
Amy Goodhue, board member.
Thanks, Amy. And then for the rest of the individuals, let's start back there.
Amy Davis, finance manager. Lauren Horesty, Sussex County teacher.
Sherry McMurray, director of student services.
Mike Turk, I'm expecting.
Melissa Ball, here.
Let's go back over to you, sir.
Don Tillett, I'm also a parent.
Okay.
Ted Layton, parent. Gary Green, parent.
Really new.
Matt Green, parent.
Go ahead.
And Patty Hendricks, being in the elementary.
Megan Reed, her teacher is assisting on the elementary school.
Okay.
Shot it short, breath of communication.
Great. Then we have one more person coming through. Did you want to state your name?
It's Andy Castle. I'm the mother of Ben Pella.
Great. Sorry to put you on the spot. Welcome. Have a seat. Thanks, everyone. We are going to go ahead and start with the agenda. I'm going to make a motion to remove the executive session from the agenda, the first executive session on the agenda, which is Roman numeral number two. We do not need to have that executive session until that's scheduled at the end. So a motion to remove it.
We also have an item that's on the table that I think appears to be an old business from last month, correct? You mentioned
The head of school policy.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and just modify the agenda first, and then we'll go ahead and address that. So a motion to remove the executive session from the beginning of the agenda.
So moved.
Thank you, Amy. Second?
Second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any extensions? Hearing none. Thank you. Motion carries to remove that executive session. And then I'm sorry, Patches. What was your comment?
Well, that we have something that's on the table that we need to put back on the agenda for tonight.
Okay.
So.
And that is that an executive session item?
It was an executive session item. It's something that you emailed out.
This policy 801 was supposed to be tabled until this month.
Yeah, and the policy 801 is the new description of the head of school. And I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, the hiring committee is going to identify the new head of school description for when the head of school job posting goes out. So if everyone is okay with tabling that again, or just transferring that to the hiring committee, does that make sense?
Does it need to stay on old business though? I thought it had to stay on old business.
It should be under old business.
That's what I thought.
Keep it, and then we may just report out on it when the hiring committee reports out next month.
Okay.
Yep. So is everyone in favor of that?
Okay.
Sounds good. Thank you. We have the minutes from the November 15th, 2023 meeting that Andrea sent out to the members. Does anyone have any comments, edits, or changes to the minutes? Hearing none, could I get a motion to approve? That Patches, second? Ed, all in favor? Any opposed? And any abstentions? Hearing none, the motion carries. So the minutes are approved as is. Hello, gentlemen. All righty. Over there. The next is public comment. Before we go on and hear from anyone from the public, we just do have to say a public comment clause, and I will read that. If you give me a moment. Those of you who are my age have readers. Please know that the executive board of Sussex Academy appreciates your input. Members of the board will not respond to public comments made during the board meeting. The board will not hear complaints against personnel or any students in a public board meeting. Any complaints about Sussex Academy, including instruction, discipline, personnel, procedure, policy, or curriculum, should be referred through the proper procedure set forth in the board policy manual, section 1102, before it may be presented to the board. Thereafter, if such a complaint is sought to be brought before the board, then it must be made in writing and submitted on the required form contained in that board policy manual, section 1102. And public comment is limited to 3 minutes per person. So with that, do we have anyone who would like to make a public comment? Hearing none, seeing none, we will move on to the next. The interim head of school report, Janet.
Yay. Let's see, just to review some things that have taken place about past month or so, since the board didn't meet officially in December. A lot of holiday activities took place, elementary campus, secondary campus, tons of service projects, which was fantastic this year. We helped so many community organizations and a lot of, you know, families throughout Sussex County, including a lot of our own through holiday efforts. So that was wonderful. Elementary school, the entire school went to Shellville, had a fantastic time, which was really great because in talking to some of the kids, a lot of them didn't get a chance to go with their families. So to get the chance to go, you know, with their friends, loved it. So that's something that I hope we can continue every year. Had a visit by Santa and Mrs. Claus at the elementary level and middle school and high school, and even the high school, you know, had to get their pictures taken with them. So that was good. SGA held a winter pep rally for our winter sports on Thursday, January 11th, and then hosted a winter formal on Friday the 12th. Good news about our CTE application for the environmental and natural resource pathway that we were hoping to get approved. We have really good indication that it will be approved within the next couple weeks. Once it's approved, we can go ahead and apply for our charter for the FFA. The suggestion is we go ahead and move forward, and as soon as that CTE application is approved, we're going to get a student interest meeting together because we need to make sure we get the word out there this year, because the idea is we have that rolled out and ready to go in September 2024. So hopefully within 2 weeks we're going to get a final answer, but all indications show that we've got everything in line and we're good to go with that. So that's exciting news. It's supposed to be today, but it's been delayed. New soundboard and stage box for the speaker system in the cafeteria that has been desperately needed has been funded jointly by the Performing Arts Boosters, by Sussex Academy, and also by the Drama Club. And they've spent a lot of time researching. Mid-South Audio has been wonderful. They're going to come in. They're going to install. They're going to train 20 of our kids to be tech experts. Kids are super excited about that. That's supposed to take place next week. So once that happens, we're going to have a lot of improvements in the sound system in the cafeteria. Our choice application period ended January 10th. There were 1,257 applications. That is a record number for us. It's a fantastic number. Last year we had 1,166, so we had 100 more this year. A phenomenal amount of applications. Led to a lot of heartbreak for some families, especially at the elementary level, because as you know, if you don't get in kindergarten, our kids are not leaving. We don't want them to leave, but them not leaving means there are no spots. So just to give you an idea, our wait list currently at kindergarten sits at 196 families that are waiting. Our fifth grade is 104 families that are waiting, fourth grade 107. So we have a lot of families that have reached out and, you know, understandably upset, but they understand why, you know, what happened. At the sixth grade level, we had 236 families on the wait list. So a lot of people trying to get ninth grade, highest wait list we've ever had. We have 158 families on the wait list for our freshman class. 10th grade, we have 49 families on the wait list. 11th grade, we have 13, no, one. We have one for 11th grade. So it was a huge, huge lottery for us. It shows success. I think it's a good indication that families trust us and they're choosing us over and over again. I truly believe a lot of it has to do with the hard work of student services and Dr. MacBerry and the Choice Open House, which I thought was phenomenal this year. And our tours that we had the students and parent ambassadors help with, and they were really well received. And I think families really were very impressed. And I think that's part of an indication of why our numbers are so high this year. So I thought that was really, really good news to share. They have to let us know by March 15th. They have to let us know by March 15th if they're going to accept. Our goal is to get, enrollment started as soon as we can. I think it opens up the 5th, February 5th, and we want to start onboarding as early as possible with those families. So the intention is always to get them to, declare their intent and really get their families in here to make sure that they know exactly what Sussex Academy is all about, and they're really ready to join our family, in August or September. We have a lot of things that are coming up. We've got a huge, huge honor roll breakfast taking place on Friday. We have, I believe, over 400 kids that are going to attend. It's going to be held in the cafeteria. If anybody is free from 8 to 8:30 and want to come help and dish out some bagels and some cream cheese and help out, then we would love your assistance. But that's going to be an exciting time. Our FAFSA workshop that was supposed to be held, I believe, last week is going to be held next Tuesday night, January 30th, for our families at 7 p.m. We've got a lot of fundraisers for our sports teams coming up. And they've all asked me to make sure that I mention them as much as possible. So swim team has a dine and donate on January 30th. They're also starting a chance drawing that they just kicked off. The performing arts boosters have a middle school dance on February the 3rd. The wrestling team has a dine and donate on February 18th. All these things are in our head of class every week, but I did promise that I would bring them up as much as I can. Our high school is planning. The students always host a student director performance in the winter, and this year it's going to be Anne of Green Gables. Our elementary students are going to come over and watch that, in addition to it being open to the public, right? Mm-hmm. Mary Poppins, school? Mary Poppins. I've got the two mixed up. It happens. Anne of Green Gables. Our middle school is coming to that one. And then our middle school drama putting together Mary Poppins Jr. And then our elementary kids are going to come watch that. Our senior trip to Disney is going to be next month. So we have 35 students that are going to be attending the senior trip to Disney World from February 14th to the 20th. I believe that is it. But we have a ton going on this month. Lots of fun things happening and lots of exciting things taking place.
Thanks, Janet. Mm-hmm. Any questions for Janet from the group? Thank you very much. Next on the agenda is the monthly board financial reports. Those will be from Brittany.
Did that work, Brittany?
Yes. Okay, great.
All right. I don't know how to work a Mac, so I knew that was going to happen.
I just want to share. Did you want to talk? And there's also a random chair of the box.
So. Can someone who knows how to work this?
Is that what you need? Just double click.
But I don't think that's the screen I'm sharing. I mean, it doesn't matter because no one's on.
It is.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. If I forget to scroll and you need to look at something else, let me know. Okay. So this is, we have not had a board meeting since November. So this is going to be November and December finances. So in December, we received the rest of our state and local appropriations. We don't expect to receive any more money in those two lines. So that end of year outlook column, the 11.2 and 3.1, those should be final numbers in state appropriations and local tuition. So you can see they came in over together $950,000 over budget. A lot of that was due to our transportation funding coming in higher than we thought it was going to, and also unit count coming in slightly higher than we thought it was going to. As far as the rest of the revenues, we have cafeteria, athletic pool, miscellaneous. Those come in, you know, average monthly. We're on track to come in, as far as those four lines combined, we're on track to come in under budget by $254,000. So, I'm sorry, not $254,000. $124,000. So combined, we're projecting $828,000 in surplus revenue over our budget. The biggest reason we're projecting to come in under budget on the miscellaneous lines is we originally budgeted to withdraw money from long-term reserves to cover the long-term the building and grounds expenses prescribed in the long-term reserve study. We're no longer going to do that. We're going to pay with those with state and local funds. So revenue surplus of $828,000. We're 50% of the way through the school year. So you can see salary spending is exactly at 50%, right where we want to be. It's perfect. We're projecting to come in at $19,000 under budget. Those numbers account for the vacant head of school position, as well as the two new hires that we approved at the November board meeting. So that should be very near where we end at the end of the year. For facilities, and this includes encumbrances of building maintenance and rent and equipment and utilities, we're at 69.9% of budget. As far as what we've actually spent, we're projecting to come in at $144,000 over budget on those lines. And that is, again, due to the change in the way we were handling the long-term reserve study expense and revenue.
Brittany, if I could just stop you for a minute. Ma'am, please let the record know you're here.
Yeah, hi, my name is Pamela.
Thank you. Go ahead, Brittany.
All right, so for instruction student activities, with the encumbrance for transportation, we are at 72.7% spending. Our end of year outlook has us coming in at $107,000 over budget. And for miscellaneous, we're at 66.9% of spending, coming in, projections coming in at $22,000 over budget. With the surplus in revenue and the deficit in expenses, we're projecting an overall bottom line surplus of $573,323. We're projecting a cash balance of $9.7 million at the end of the year, and that's 65 days cash. So our cash balance at the end of the year is projected to be about $500,000 over what it was last year. Without encumbrances, we have encumbrances in building maintenance and rent, utilities, and transportation. Without those encumbrances, our total spending is at 49.6% of the budget, which is exactly where we should be. Anybody have any questions?
End of December.
Correct.
Sounds like we are in a positive financial situation at the moment.
We are in a good place. Yes, we need to continue being conservative. Andy and I went through the finances line by line last week to make sure that these projections are accurate. We have some changes to make, but nothing that will, you know, put this budget in jeopardy. I still think that this is an accurate bottom line number.
Great. Thank you, Brittany. Any other questions for Brittany? Any comments by the board members? Can I get a motion to approve the budget?
So moved.
Second? Second, Jill? Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thanks.
You have to vote in separately.
I'm sorry?
You have to vote on separately.
Oh, because there's 2 months. I apologize. So November, this will be for the November budget. So, okay. We already did all in favor. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. And then for December, motion. Amy, second. That's your day. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? That motion carries. Thanks, Andrea, for pointing that out. I'll just lump it all together. Okay, so with Lance arriving, I would like to entertain a motion to modify the agenda one more time in order to move the building and grounds report out to the next item on the agenda. I know that we have a proposed baseball field presentation that we would like to get done earlier in the agenda. So a motion to move, that would be 5, 6, 7, 8. So that is Roman numeral 8 under committee reports B. We can move that up to the next item on the agenda. Motion?
Ready.
That's Ed. Second?
Second,
Shante. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any extensions? Motion carries. So, Lance, are you involved in this at all? Nope. Mr. Brittingham and
come
right up front. right under the spotlight.
Yeah. I emailed this out to everybody. First of all, thank you for allowing us to take a little bit of your time up tonight. We'll make it quick. I know you have student admins that wants to talk. I definitely would like to hear from Noel as well. Emailed this out to everybody Monday evening. So what we've been doing is it's myself, another parent, along with Coach Knowles, who obviously knows the game of baseball and knows the distances that are needed. The first page you're going to see there, parents, I think I might have sent this to you too, if you guys want any something on as well. But, I had a chance, or I got put in contact with the engineer who's doing the baseball, the track facility. He had obviously some insight on dimensions, the project of where it was originally going to be, where we are now, the tennis courts, stormwater management, everything. I'm not going to reread this to you. You guys are educated enough to read that. If you have any questions, you can certainly reach out to me again, or we can reach out to Mr. Silva. But he gave us a couple of different options, and you're going to see those options on page 2. Option 1, which was the original school plan option, which is near the entrance area. Some of that area has changed a little bit due to the tennis courts, stormwater management. You'll see in his professional comments, he goes into detail about the stormwater management, how you have to go about getting permits in order to move forward in that location. There obviously will be some additional expense along those lines, what have you. He also made another option B, which is kind of almost next to the softball field. That field tends to be, I would say, from a financial standpoint, a better location. That field also gives us the opportunity to actually relocate that soccer field, whatever that field's used for now, over into where the field is out front. A little detail talking to him, this is based on engineer, stormwater management, parking.
So if the school was ever to expand, you're probably looking in this stormwater area out front. Whether that's true or not, that's what he commented to me and a couple of the parents. But anyhow, I don't know if the school ever plans to expand. I mean, I think it'd be a great thing if it did, but maybe we're happy with where we are. But the fact of the matter is for these student athletes, these kids, parents that are here and present tonight, we do have a donor who is willing to move forward and pretty much, you know, help us with the entire finances, which is, you know, always a hiccup and everything. We're essentially just looking for some blessings from you and a location to be able to do so. So I'm not going to sit here and cry to you, give you a bleeding heart, but anyhow, I think it'd be great for the kids to have an opportunity. I mean, it's one athletic field that we don't have on campus. Every game that they play is an away game. And if we can actually substitute this field in another location, I don't think we really lose anything as a school and as a campus. So, I mean, that being said, if you have any questions, you can certainly shoot them to me. I know we're limited on time, and I know Leighton wants to say something, so I'm going to get him up there now. Where is he?
At Emerson?
Yeah, Emerson. I'm sorry. Emerson.
I'm right up Emerson.
Come on, buddy.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for inviting me to speak in front of all of you. My name is Emerson Layton. I'm one of the captains of the Sussex Academy baseball team. Today, I'm here to talk about our school putting in a baseball field. I've attended Sussex Academy since sixth grade, and I've never had the experience of playing at my own school. The fields at Sports of the Beach are not ideal and are not in the best conditions for our students to play the best of their ability. Several talented baseball athletes have left their school to go play for a different school. I believe not having a baseball field is a big reason why. I would love to have a field to play on my senior year, and I think that having this field will keep athletes here and help our baseball team succeed and play at the next level. On senior night last year, there was not a single student there to support our senior in his last year. As a team, we all want to be able to play at our school and not have home games that are not actually home. Being a leader on this team, I want to become a better player myself, and I want to make my teammates the best that they can possibly be. A field with a nice infield and outfield will help us be fundamentally sound and make the plays that we need in order to win games. Please consider the future of the Sussex Academy baseball team, and I wish to have the same opportunities as our classmates. Thank you.
Thank you, Emerson. Matt, did you have any other?
Yeah, I think, Coach, did you want to say
something? Yeah, just
if you're going to run a couple more minutes.
My name is Doug Knoll, baseball coach here at Sussex Academy. We do appreciate allowing us the time just to speak on behalf of our players and also the parents. Every day is challenging. Kids get out of school. You got to load up the bus with equipment. Then we have to go play at an unsafe facility. We constantly feel like guests everywhere we go. Even today is an example. It's a fall day. Lacrosse, girls, boys, lacrosse, I believe track was outside, which obviously is going through the same predicament that we are. We had to find some ground kind of off the beaten path just to go through an arm care program. If we had our facility, and we had a facility that we could just walk right out of class, our boys, which are very good student athletes, could feel some pride to walk on their field and to achieve whatever that daily task may be. It's just like when we leave today, we're going to get in our car, we're going to drive home. Every day we leave school, we don't have a home. It's a challenge. It just is a challenge every day. There's been 120, 30 plus students that were baseball players that left Sussex Academy that didn't have that opportunity to play at their own facility. I've been fortunate enough to be around baseball on a collegiate level, high school level. And according to my knowledge, I believe there's only one high school in Delaware that does not have a home facility. And the reason being is that they're landlocked. There's nowhere to put that facility. We are in a special situation. There's plenty of room. I think we just have to use our heads. We have to look out for our student athletes. And we need to give them what I believe is a very good memory. And that's walking out of the classroom, putting their cleats on in their dugout, breaking up the field, cleaning up their own dugout, taking pride and responsibility. It's my job, along with Mr. Brittingham and a numerous amount of parents that have been doing this for 6, 7, 8 months now, give them this opportunity. So I really wish you guys would take the thought about this and think about this, because I think these guys really deserve it. I truly do. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach.
Yeah, Coach, yeah. I got a question. Yeah. Can you move back?
Sure.
If you don't mind. And I know this is extremely informal and we're breaking all sorts of policy and I don't care. did you talk to the soccer coach? Did you talk to the track coach?
Do we have an agreement?
Like, I just want to know that, yeah, if we want our boys to have baseball, yeah. We want them to have pride too.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to fit all these things. And I also want to know if you have an estimate, Mr. Brittingham, or coach, of how much it costs for the permitting between your two options, as well as costs for facility maintenance, because those are the things we have to consider.
I mean, the rough numbers, permitting, we have no idea because we don't know the location. I mean, okay. if it's location A out near the road, that's hard to say because moving stormwater management sure. is no small task. I think rough numbers, without getting crazy, I mean, again, the donor is willing to pretty much foot the bill. I think we're talking like somewhere in the neighborhood of $350, $450.
But the donor agreed to pay for permit.
Yeah, he's agreed to pay.
He's all in. He's all in, yeah. Yeah, and again, it price varies. Price varies according to what we can achieve according to the number that we're going to get. I would say $250,000 is a low end. And then obviously the permits and things like that, it could climb up to $500,000.
Okay.
Again, that's where the bells and whistles and things like that.
And then what about operational costs? That we have a board directive to actually.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was going to take a lot of responsibility on myself for the landscape business that I have. And obviously we were going to also instruct and teach these young boys pride and take care of their own facility. So I think that the most of that cost would be taken care of, with a small figure in it.
And a lot of it's going to be dependent on the materials used too. So yeah. that's something that's kind of up in the air.
Yeah.
And we realize, I mean, I'm in that real estate world, the permitting process, we know if you all approve this tonight, we're not going to be out there digging tomorrow. We totally understand that. I mean, this is going to be a process. We just, we obviously need your blessing to move forward.
Sure.
Can I just add one thing?
Sure.
We don't have any seniors this year. We have a handful of juniors. I don't want these boys walking out of here, these juniors. I really don't, without having their own facility. I just feel like they've earned it. They're good student athletes. And, whatever I can do as a measly baseball coach in high school, I do not want these juniors walking out of here without putting their feet on the ground in their facility. So, again, I think we've done some good legwork. We are looking for your support, obviously. Without your support, we have nothing. We're willing to answer any questions, send more emails, give you more information as the time comes. So, I really like for us to push forward. Yes.
I had a question. Between the two options, have you noticed what is the time difference going to be? Like you said, option B may be easier to attain than A. So what are the 3 months, 6 months, like difference?
Well, talking to the engineer, I mean, he basically what he told us, he said option B is much more faster just because of the stormwater. And we haven't even reached out to soil conservation. I mean, I think one parent did reach out and try to find out, like, where is it and what is it? Because right now it just looks like it's just there. You know what I mean? It's a lot wetter than it looks from the surface. But we've not been given any time frame, whether it's another 6 months or 3 months. I couldn't even answer that question.
Well, the only thing you have to remember is if you take option B, which is an easier option, you may be uprooting one soccer practice field for a while. So
no.
That is an important thing to remember. Is that A, you're not doing anything to anything else, but in B, mm-hmm. you are taking one field out. So you need to keep that in mind. Because yeah. the time matters for the other strips.
Yeah, I think, and that's a question for the engineer. I think the way that field's laid out, you're not dipping much into, well, center field and option A is pretty much the center fielder would need hip waivers. I mean, the field goes
yeah.
way beyond because they measured it out.
And I apologize for interrupting. Option A is more conducive for a rectangular field. Option B is more conducive for a baseball field, for a diamond.
Did you talk to the coach yet for soccer?
Yeah.
No, I haven't talked to him. I talked to the track coach. I mean, I did talk to him. I mean, because he hadn't been process here. But
yeah. There's just been a lot of small talk. And, we're looking for a field. We don't want to take a field away, but we don't have one. Soccer program, lacrosse, field hockey. Not only do they have one, they have multiple. We don't have one. Our numbers are growing, and we're just looking for a field that we're going to share with our middle school and our high school program. We're not looking for two. We're just looking for one.
Yeah, my standpoint, I mean, the original master plan for Sussex Academy has a baseball field in it. So
yeah,
I personally would love to see a baseball field here at Sussex Academy. I think a lot of board members and teachers, faculty would like to also. I think we just need to make sure that we're taking everything into consideration and we're not cannibalizing other teams for that field. So the original location for this field is option A. That is where the original field was. And the sports have changed slightly to where they were. And the original stormwater calculations that were done for the facility had that in consideration. So you can see from satellite imagery, the radius around the stormwater is the center field of the original field. So I think.
Do you know that had correct dimensions? But for a baseball field, not a softball field, obviously, you're looking at about 370 to 400 feet.
Yeah,
and I don't know that answer. That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah, I mean, we have to go back to the original plan, which GMB did the original plan. So that's why.
So it probably does.
It's getting in touch with them because it does have a softball and the baseball field. I don't know exactly what the dimensions were on there, but. From my perspective, like option A would be like the least intrusive. It may cost a little more to do that, but you're not. The fields are getting used by, I know, middle school soccer. There's and other uses. I don't know what Taylor has. If he has any input, I would assume he can get her involved as the AD to understand what the practice schedules currently are. If they can be moved to another field and the cost, to get those fields in the same condition as those other fields are without that. I mean, there's a couple options that can be had here. I personally think the easiest one is A, because the construction is up there close so that any ins and outs aren't going to affect any other operations in the school, where option B is pretty much in the hub of the school. Like there's a lot of construction equipment that would have to come to and fro to make that happen versus it being on the outside. So I think there are a couple of advantages to being there.
Lance, you're the chair of the Building and Grounds Committee. Would you be willing to facilitate further discussions around this?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Would that be a good source for further discussions for you to then, because that's an arm of our board.
Yeah.
And it's Building and Grounds, it's appropriate.
Sure.
So I think we definitely want to entertain additional discussions, and I think you'd probably be the best person on the board to do that.
Yeah, I think with the preliminary designs that you've got to date, I think that's great. I think that gives us some options to then vet further and then come back with a recommendation.
Awesome. Does that work? Appreciate it. Yes, thank you so much.
I think it's great. I look forward to hopefully, talking to you about it.
Thanks for talking.
Yes.
So I want to thank the students for coming out.
Yes.
Because here while we make these decisions is why we do all of this. So I think y'all coming out tonight shows a lot of support. We saw the same from the track team that came back.
Yeah. I was speaking as track coach, actually. Yeah.
And so I just want to commend you for bringing the team out.
Appreciate that.
The kids are why we're doing it. This is not an adult, an adult thing. But we have to adults figure out how we're going to make it happen. I don't think this is a question, and I don't want to speak for the board. I don't think it's a question for you guys. I don't think it's a question of if we're doing it. It's just when we're doing it.
Right.
And I think we've got to figure out the ins and outs. And that's what goes on at these meetings. And I want them to know that we're going to really, truly take and dig into this. We've got other teams that are trying to have part of a larger plan. And I just want to make sure they understand that that's kind of what's got to happen. We've got to figure out where it fits into this larger plan so that we can get it done.
That's great. That's great news. And I appreciate it.
And I think that's kind of, again, I wanted to commend them for coming out.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Thanks.
Can we add public comment back into the agenda? We just have one gentleman. Did you want to make a comment, sir?
Yes, about a couple of people that I spoke to. I did speak to Rob Tunnell, who talked to hopefully Mr. Bell available. Robert was in charge of tennis sports and everything, and he point blank told me that the soils out there on position A are terrible, and that it's a bad location to put any type of baseball field. mean, y'all will have to talk to either one of them. Like I said, I'll talk to Mr. Shell, will be available because they spoke about the situation.
Yeah, and I think that with our building and grounds committee, Lance Manlove is the, sorry to put you on the spot, Lance, is the contact person for that. So I think you'd entertain emails about any concerns or issues, right, Lance? Okay. Thank you, sir. And Lance, since we're on building and grounds, do you have any other updates on building and grounds committee? Yeah, sure. And boys, you're free to go. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Right. We're going to go ahead and go back to the original agenda. And our next agenda item is the Sussex Academy Foundation update, which is usually given by Joe Shell, but we don't have him, do we?
Joe's been trying to get on to
that. Did our link change?
It's not working.
Did our Zoom link change?
It's Eric's Zoom link.
Okay.
Yeah, I tried to get on to it too, but I was traveling and it wouldn't work.
What did you call him? You had his number to call him?
He had to be somewhere at 5
a.m. He said,
oh,
he
said I can't do the Zoom.
Yeah. He can almost stay an hour.
How did we get on the Zoom? I mean, we're on the Zoom right now, so
You might just have a different
The link that's in the agenda and the link that you texted me, neither of them worked. It says, it gives you, when you're logged in, it says,
I took it from
the host is on an existing Zoom call. That's the message that you get when you're on the Zoom. But
can we just don't get him on the phone?
Well, he has to, he said he had to be somewhere at 5. You know, that's
Five. He said he'd only stay an hour and he had to be somewhere at 5:30.
But doesn't he want to talk about something? Do we know if he wanted to? I thought he did.
I can text him. You can see if he wants,
see if he wants to call in. We'll just go on to the, as of now, there is no foundation update. We're going to continue to move on. Lance, just let us know if he wants to join us. The next is committee reports. The executive nominating succession, we don't have any updates to provide on that. Finance committee, any updates?
CBOC did meet yesterday. I presented them the same financials I presented you guys. We talked about the audit. And that was it. Nothing really to report.
Okay. Thank you, Brittany. Outreach. That's public relations outreach. Do you guys have anything to update on that one? Our director of communication. Cool. Hi.
Hello, everyone. Shani, director of communications. We are in the soft planning phases of a spring summer social. Next year, we celebrate 25 years in the school. But this year, we want to do something for our families. They've asked us, can we get together? Can we have something? So we are looking, my request to the board, if there's anyone that would like to talk through that, what that looks like for spring or summer social, then please reach out to me. We do want a committee, want to make it a really good time. Salter Vines Winery is a family of our school who has been tremendous and just wanted to do something for our school. So we want to partner with them potentially or the Star Board. So I would love to have your support to come on a committee to talk about what a fundraiser will look like. We have ideas for ongoing fundraisers, but the goal this year is to get our families back together. Let's have some fun. Let's raise some money. Let's do some great things for our kids at school. So if you want to reach me, you can reach me through Mrs. Owens, and I'm excited to start planning all the fun for us. In addition to that, For Giving Tuesday, so I want to say thank you. On Giving Tuesday in one day, in 7.5 hours, we raised $10,000. And so I just want to say thank you for responding to emails, for sharing information out. It means a lot to our school and what we're doing. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? We've already done Building and Grounds, governance, that's policy and legislative. We have not formally met since the last time we were here. We will meet next month to continue on with updating the policies. We do have some policies under new business, as you see, and I know you've gotten copies of those. Those were really, they were not brought to the entire governance committee. It was something that was quickly done, and the executive committee looked at them as well and then sent out to all of you. So the formal governance committee has not met yet. We will. So I don't have an update for you for that. I apologize. And then the school performance committee, also known now as the hiring committee. I'm looking to Justina and Erin. We are in need of a chair or co-chairs for that committee now, with the resignation of Chris Brown. And so I think the board would look to both of you if you are interested, as you said you might be, in being the co-chairs of that committee. The hiring committee, as we know, is really important now because of the head of school search. So if both of you are willing, and is if there's no objection to any of the other board members, I think we can pass the reins to the two of them. And you have not had any meetings since our last, correct? Okay, so you both will have worked with Janet Owens in getting that committee moving in the right direction.
If you don't mind reviewing with us who exactly this one that we need besides.
Absolutely. So we have,
did you join one time?
We have Ed Uday, Chris Moody, Erin, Justina, and then just Janet and Connie. Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you both.
Sure.
All right. Excuse me. Moving on to the next old business. FY23 audit approval.
So you saw the presentation by the audit firm November meeting. You've had some time to digest it. Does anybody have any questions? Okay, then we need to vote to approve the audit.
Motion to approve the audit.
Motion.
That would be Ed, second.
Second.
Patches, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Any abstention? Motion passes, thank you. That brings us on to new business. The proposed change to the bylaws. I believe we had some discussion about the changes to the bylaws when we were last together. The change is on page 2, and I hope everyone, because they've got it through my emails, my random emails that were sent on Sunday. And it's in Article 3 under the Board of Directors that there will be two teacher board members now, instead of just one. And that would be one from the elementary and one from the secondary school. So the changes are there in section 1. And it states that the number of directors shall not be less than 9 and no more than 13, and shall include a director who is a certified teacher at the elementary school, elementary teacher director, and a director who is a certified teacher at the secondary school, the secondary teacher director. So that is the change on page 2. And then we also had some discussion about, because the teacher directors are technically school personnel, the second change we made is on page 4 in section 11 under quorum, the last sentence there. The teacher directors may not be present during an executive session when student or personnel related matters are discussed. So if everyone had a chance to digest this, I would entertain unless there's some comments about it, I would entertain a motion to approve those two changes.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Yes.
Second. Jill. All in favor? Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, the next one is the funding for athletic trainer, and that is House Bill 244.
Shanti, you brought that this one to our attention.
Yep.
And I believe it was sent out to all board members.
Yes.
You mind just getting a little summary?
Sure.
I know it has a certain number of requirements.
Yep. I don't have all the details memorized per se for the bill, but basically the goal would be in the next 2 years for every high school to be required to have an athletic trainer. So we had those discussions last year. I think we've found a way to rectify that, in our current budget, but who knows what, the future can hold. And so I think we as a board should write a letter supporting it. I wrote a letter as a parent to the legislators who were the sponsors and co-sponsors of it. And it basically my story on it and why I think it's really important. It was heard in the education committee in the House. It did get reported out of the committee.
Okay.
It's been reassigned to the appropriations committee because it does have a funding element to it.
Do you know what that fiscal bill is?
It is here. Give me 1 second. Yeah.
Fiscal year.
I will tell you when it loads.
Okay, no worries.
But there is a fiscal note on it. So I think it's important based on the discussion that we had last year for us to support it, to show that support.
I'm going to add a couple of things just because the state charter school network met about this last week.
Yeah.
It's actually an amendment was added yesterday to the bill because there's two things that have to be worked out. One is there's a strong push to make the job description, the job requirement of the athletic trainer to not only serve the athletes, but also all student body, including possible theater. It just changes the whole scope of the job of the athletic trainer to include they would have to be responsible for anyone in any activities at the school. So there's a lot of discussion about that. And the phasing in, the charter school network is fighting to make sure that charter schools are included in the phase one. This phase one, only 8 schools get it. There's 16 of them all. So they're asking for some more work to be done on it before it's voted on. It's been passed.
Yeah.
But there are just a couple of things I think that need to be worked out. So
and we can make those comments in our letter to say, hey, as a charter school, I think we're probably in a better position than maybe some of the schools up north in that we would likely be included in that first lift anyway, just given. But we can definitely put that in the letter.
Has the board done a letter in support of a bill in the past?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do we have some sort of a template to go by in a way?
I do not know.
But I know that it has happened in the past.
I'm happy to.
You're happy to help. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be complicated.
Okay, that'd be great, Shanta. What does everyone think about that, supporting that bill?
It's definitely something very necessary.
I do have a question about the amendment that you just described. The idea of this first version that you share, Shante, yes, but I question what you just
said. That is the part that the Charter School Network is really questioning and wanting to be. It's very vague in the bill that they
I listened to the Education Committee and when this came up, and the nature of it was they didn't want it to be, I'll say, just for the athletes. And the example they gave is a parent is in the stands and has a heart attack during a game. The athletic trainer is going to go and help them.
Mm-hmm.
Same for anything. If a student in theater falls off of the stage and breaks a leg, the athletic trainer would be on campus to be able to assist with that. That was more the nature of it, to try and kind of holistically, so it's not just about athletes, because there are a lot of people that don't do athletics and wouldn't want to be supported because of that. So they were trying
that's to a lot of responsibility though. Because it would have to then be
one person,
every student. You have to really, include every student, which I think is a good thing. But it wouldn't, like, one trainer wouldn't.
You can't.
Yeah.
One trainer cannot do all that. I mean, for us, imagine the larger high schools. If you have multiple events going on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's just the discussion they're going to have.
How
to clear that up.
Yeah. It might change the fiscal note as well.
No disrespect to our athletic trainers and their training, but that's a completely different training than someone in the
medical field.
Medical field. Mm-hmm. And I say that as it's two entirely different sets. And so I question that too, just slightly. Not that they don't serve an important role, but it's completely different than someone that's a nurse practitioner. I know last year we filled that position with a nurse, but that put us in an entirely different category as well when we did that. So
maybe we wait until there's a little more discussion in committee, and then we can. So maybe next month, it's not going to pass before next
month. It's not going to be during a JFC break for a month.
Then why don't we discuss it again in March, and then we can make the decision then. Does that sound like a good plan? So once we know what kind of the final amendment looks like and the fiscal notes.
Recommended budget comes out tomorrow, too, right?
Correct.
So we'll know more about what his plans are.
Well, he won't have that in there because the legislation hasn't passed.
Correct, so. But he'll have what I was questioning as the IT professional. The Public Education Compensation Committee also met in one of the positions they talked about. It was the only unit ad that I'm aware of. They talked about adjusting the pay for teachers and specialists, paraprofessionals, bus drivers, secretaries. But one of the positions they talked about adding was an IT professional unit as well. And I think that should be in his. It would show up. And I think when we send the letter, we can either send the letter supporting one, both, or either, depending upon what he was. Does that make sense? Because that's a position that we've fought for 15 years.
For 19. So for 19. Necessary.
Because that's all locally funded by or taken from other units, which takes a while. So.
Thanks, Chante. Thanks, Patches. The next is the McKinney-Bentville homelessness and foster care policy. That's policy 520. It's really a policy that was borrowed from another charter school, and most of the schools have this informed the way it looks. It's important. It's for our foster kids. It's for any child that falls under this. It's important to have, especially the contact person there. Hopefully, is that the correct person? Do you have any idea? It was on. Okay, wonderful. So I would enter, if there's anyone have any questions on this one?
My question was, the contact person, the school nurse, is your McKinney-Bentville person, not a counselor?
No, she's always, our school nurse has always been our McKinney-Bentville person.
That's a lot to answer.
Okay. You don't have any.
We rarely have any. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Motion to approve.
So moved.
That was Uday. Okay. And second? Amy? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Any abstention? Motion carries. Thank you. The next one's a doozy. I apologize for that. Again, this is a policy for responding to adult sexual misconduct in school. There's a long backstory to this that I won't get into, but all I can tell you is that this policy was in the works for about a year, for the past year through the Child Protection Accountability Commission, as well as the Department of Education. And it's been vetted. It's really to give the schools guidance as well as law enforcement when there is any sort of allegation of sexual abuse or sexual assault in a school. This is different than Title IX because this is the state of Delaware child abuse laws that come into play versus the Title IX. And it's guidance because there's so many times law enforcement and the schools, there's been some miscommunication. And this deals with an adult perpetrator, any adult perpetrator who's in the school. So again, I know it's long. There is the addendum as well that was attached, and that was prepared by the Department of Education.
by Brian Moore, who was the form in this former position. He's no longer there. Rosie Morales is. But again, that was also vetted. It was approved by CPAC, and anything approved by, when I say CPAC, it's the Child Protection Accountability Commission, which is the governor oversees CPAC. So it's something that, yes, it's long and lengthy, but according to, I can't remember which statute it is off the top of my head, but it's required to be in place in every school. It should already be in place. And I know that Andy was the one who actually brought it to our attention. So are there any questions on this one? I was actually part of the committee that for a year, and we drafted it. So it's been a beast. But it's good. It's good. It gives everyone guidance on what to do. More often than not, this happens in schools. So yeah. So if I could entertain a motion to approve.
Yeah.
Ed, second?
Second.
Shante, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? Motion carries. Thank you. And then the final policy is policy 522. This one is Title IX. And Andy, I think, who gave this to me? Was that anything? You did, right? Okay, sorry. And you were kind enough to make
how I end up with all the calls.
I know, right? that's why the governance committee didn't meet, because Andy took care of it. Then you actually adopted this from Newark Charter. Okay. And modified it to just make it work for Sussex Academy. Okay. So this is a policy that's extremely important for the schools as well, because it deals with federal regulations that we don't want to violate. And so really this policy and the other policy that I just talked about should kind of go hand in hand, because often when you have a Title IX investigation, you're likely going to have a law enforcement, other type of investigation. And we want to make sure that everyone's communicating that multidisciplinary thing. So I think us putting these policies in the same section and together is good. Any questions on Title IX?
Is your Title IX information on your website? Do you have it publicly available?
That's going on.
The policy.
That's in, yeah, as a result. Yeah.
So when these are all approved, can you send them to me and I'll make sure I get them?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right, motion to approve.
Motion.
Thanks, Karen. Second?
Okay.
Jill, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries. Thank you. Never ends, even when they're almost 20. Okay, so that is that. And then the other one on new business is teacher representative. And second chance, are you going to talk about that?
Knowing that the bylaws were hopefully going to be changed tonight, each campus has already held their nominations, and they have each chosen a teacher representative for their campus. So hopefully, since the bylaws now have been officially changed at the February meeting, they can be sworn in as official meetings. Do they get sworn in officially in the Senate? Right?
Yes.
So Megan Reed is going to join the board starting next month as the elementary representative. Megan is our second and third grade science and math teacher. Phenomenal. She's also helped the school do a lot of work with our equity pipeline work for DOE, and she's a leader in training. So she will be a great representative. And then Lauren Horesny, who has been at the middle school as the eighth grade science teacher for a very long time. I don't even know how many years.
11
years. Was chosen to represent the secondary campus. And she has been a team leader of the eighth grade for a very long time. She has always been an integral part in leading the school. So I'm very excited that both of them are going to join the board next month, because they will do an absolutely phenomenal job. So,
yeah. Next one.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I think that's the agenda, except for our executive session. Pretty amazing. Okay, so we will be moving into executive session with a motion, and we will not be returning. So if I could have a motion, what? Did I miss something again? Okay, thanks for answering. A motion to move into executive session.
So moved.
Thank you. Shante, second?
Second.
Who's second?
It's Katie.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? We are done with regular public. So we don't have any stuff out there. Thank you.